Hey everybody, welcome to Surface Level, creating a community where Black and queer folks are fearless in thought and curious at heart. I'm one of your hosts, Jordan, and today, Damon, Tony, and I are discussing femphobia. How has our childhood influenced our views of male femininity? Is a preference for masculinity inherently femphobic? This is Mask for Mask. All right.
Let's get into it.
So I'm happy to be having this conversation with my girls.
Yes.
What are you?
My girls.
We're going to do a slightly different game.
Okay, well.
And it's called If I Were a Girl with an I.
With an I.
She's getting very meta today. Girl with an I.
So I'm going to give a common scenario
among
women, along with two options. And you let me know what your choice is in that scenario.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If you were a girl, what reality TV cast would you rather join? Real Housewives of Atlanta or Real Housewives of Potomac?
Oh, like present day?
Like right now.
Right at this moment. Potomac is that girl at this very juncture.
Okay.
So I would have to say Potomac because I want to go where the winning team is. Atlanta right now is, this season actually I have hope for, but they've been on a slow decline.
Yeah.
I would say Atlanta just because I think Candy's doing interesting things right now. Maybe not on the show, but like in life that I would want to know about or be involved with.
Got you. You know I'm Potomac. I'm just trying to kick it with Karen. I'm trying to kick it with Karen.
Listen.
All right. If you were a girl, which hairstyle would you wear more? A lace front wig or a natural twist out?
Oh my goodness.
A twist out. Right.
I'm looking at you right now. You got a twist.
I'm like, once I take these out, twist out.
Yeah, I feel like I know that natural hair is really hard to upkeep and actually doing it. It's like not as easy as it looks. So I might be a lace front girl to protect. It's a protective style to go on top of my natural hair. Lay that wig on down.
You just gotta be good, y'all. I hate when like that wig be raising up.
Oh, see, I'm
and
not,
that little I, hat. You just reach your fingers up and take that hat off somebody's head.
I can't have my lace front has to be like you know on point. It has to be. I was like, what just happened?
Oh my god.
The ghost just left your body.
Back.
They're dead. But I would definitely lace front over here as well.
Okay.
Listen, this natural hair journey that I've been going through, it's just...
Bitch.
It just requires...
We still didn't hear about this hair this season, too. I thought we were done.
It just requires
I thought
so
you was
fitting
to cut it off. I'm surprised it's still
I
here.
Was. We were talking about that. I said, I'm cutting this shit off.
Yeah.
But you know what? I decided to stick through it.
Okay.
I'm building a relationship with my hair. So I'm trying to not jump board. Okay. Mm-hmm. If you were a girl... What body feature would you rather be celebrated for? Your Debbie cakes or your cocoa melons?
What are those?
What?
Your ass on my titties?
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Oh, child.
You said, I didn't want to say that.
Grow up.
You're a JJ?
That part.
That wasn't an option.
That is the option.
That's what I would be most proud of.
Woman. That's what Doja Cat said.
I don't know. Would I rather be flat chested or flat booty? I would rather I'd rather have ass.
Same.
I'd rather have ass.
Same. Mm-hmm. I'm here.
I don't know what.
I don't know what just took
on. Oh, cracking up.
He's insulting me.
I'm not doing anything.
Are you making fun of my poison?
Now she a victim.
I think she's making fun. Oh, yeah, because she be talking about your butt all the time.
I hear.
See, here she go.
I hear that having, you know, a large chest hurts the back. Yeah. And I hear that often. My back is already struggling. I just can't imagine extra pressure back there. So
yeah, you do hear a lot of complaints about women and their backs.
What did you think of this game?
If you were a girl, what would be your go-to excuse to avoid sex? A headache or cramps?
Cramps.
Cramps.
cramps, which give me the headache.
Niggas would be like, fuck your headache.
Right.
Right, they do be like that.
If you were a girl, what shoe are you more likely to wear? A wedge, sneaker, or a kitten heel?
Oh my God.
A kitten heel. Chic, cool kitten heel with like a block or like a circular shape.
But
they're cool kitten heels.
There are.
There's no such thing as a cool wedge sneaker.
No, there is such thing as a cool wedge sneaker.
Let us know.
Like the platform?
Yeah, like the little
like a platform sneaker.
I
will Whoopi Goldberg the situation.
Oh right, Whoopi does really get into a wedge sneaker. Huh?
Sneakers can be really cool in like a platform sneaker. I'm not thinking about like a wedge heel. I hate those.
No, that's the option. Wedge.
I don't want a wedge heel.
Oh, what was that?
Said wedge sneaker.
I said wedge sneaker.
Right. So.
What the wedge heel is like a
I don't want like a, you know, the heel wedge, those wedge shoes that you always see them white girls wearing.
Like summer shoes. They wear them with their sundresses.
Yes. But like a sneaker version of it.
That's gross.
No, that is gross. Listen, I have what I have in my head of what that looks like. And so you can't take that from me, Jordan.
All right. Lastly, if you were a girl, which life approach would you be most likely to take? Girl boss or city girl?
Why I gotta be one dimension?
I don't know, John. Play the game. Don't be trying to one dimensionalize me.
The multiplicity of me.
I girl boss, because then I can afford to go wherever I want to be a city girl. Sure. I can flew myself out.
You could flew yourself out.
Got you.
I was leaning towards girl boss too, because I know city girls, they have fun, but I don't know, child. The lifestyle.
I'm not trying to be fighting Diddy's girlfriend.
I'm a little bit too old for that crap.
Yeah, I have to be a girl boss too, because I got to be able to have the power to just be like less from all of y'all. I'm actually about to like my car is outside, and so is my flight for tomorrow. All right, so today's topic is about femphobia, and this is an incredibly broad topic, and there's a lot of intersectionalities with misogyny and transphobia, but because we don't have an expert here with us to have this conversation, we're going to talk about femphobia as it pertains to the Black queer cisgender male lens. And you know, I think that just from like growing up to present day, you know, I feel like a lot of men who have feminine traits have been bullied or ridiculed when they were younger. I think that, you know, we've constantly been told to like not cry and to man up, and that's across the board. That's not just a queer thing.
Yeah.
I think that even as we got a little bit older and people got a little bit more open-minded, these fake allies are okay with you being queer so long as you're not too flamboyant. And then I think that even in our very own community, we're constantly hearing these phrases like no femmes when we're dating, or like mask for mask. And, you know, it just feels like there has been like from the moment that we entered this world to present day, there has been a constant societal rejection towards femininity within men. And I wanted to know from you all present day, are there any settings where you feel less comfortable expressing your femininity? Let's start with you, Tony.
This question for me, when I thought about it in present day in spaces of like where I feel like I can't fully express myself, those places are really, really far and few in between. Like I was trying to think of scenarios, and I'm just like, it would have to be like I'm surrounded by a whole bunch of hood niggas and I feel like that I don't know, like that, and they would have to be strangers, because I just feel like. But the other thing this did make me think about is like exactly what you said. Growing up, you know, some of the words that were thrown around constantly are sissy and faggot and gay as a form of an insult.
Right.
And so I thought about how that made me like unintentionally, because I didn't know that I was turning like the gay off. But even while trying to like suppress that, people would still see it in me. Would still see, you know, that I was had more feminine ways. And I just didn't want to be attacked like that, and I don't want to be attacked like that. But I don't think present day I feel really comfortable about who I am. I feel really comfortable about any space that I go into, bringing my full self. And a lot of times that doesn't always show up in such a feminine or masculine way. Like there's ebbs and flows. So yeah. I think I Yeah, I don't know. Did you guys have any spaces right now that you feel like you couldn't show up and express yourself?
Demand.
Is that even like...
I don't. Like, I thought about it a lot too. I was just like, okay, what are the... I don't know, the giveaways, excuse me, that I would have at this point in my life, like hair, nails, jewelry, purse. All those things go everywhere with me.
That purse be right.
It goes to work. She comes here. She goes to the gay club. She goes home with me and my family. Like, I was just like, it actually made me happy just thinking, I think, to the point that Tony was making about the person I used to be and like doing a very bad job of trying to hide my femininity. But today, yeah, no, that doesn't feel like where I am. Jordan?
I think that the podcast has really helped me sort of not feel as uncomfortable in situations. Cause I think that I felt like discomfort around like places that should feel safe, right? Like places like home, or places like a barbershop, because historically, like, those places have, you know, not really reinforced or supported my femininity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that by being on the podcast now, so many people can see like the full spectrum of my personality. And now it feels like, okay, like if you've seen the podcast and you're still here, like maybe I'm overthinking it. Maybe I'm allowing those like intrusive thoughts to inform the way I behave. So I think it's very rare for me to have environments where I don't feel safe, but there still are places like that. I think that for me, you know, if I'm like walking alone late at night, like I'm leaving a bar or something like that, or I'm on a train late at night, I am conscious of like how I'm expressing myself, because I think that a lot of people, and they do, they equate femininity with weakness.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that when they sense, or when violent people who are hateful sense femininity, they feel like they can, you know, exert violence on you. Mm-hmm. So as a precaution, you know, I do feel like I need to sort of like reel in those environments, but those are very few and far in between.
Yeah.
You know, the train is that's a good point, because at certain hours, even broad daylight, middle of the day, sometimes it don't matter.
The train's wild.
It's, you kind of feel like that's a form of protecting yourself, right? Too. So yeah. I definitely get that.
And also, child, when you reel it in, you also may look scary. Ain't scared of me. I'm just saying, like, for me,
you reeling it in is scary. You looking scary. You look suspect.
Are you about to hit me?
No. That's not what I mean. I just mean that, like, you are a taller, more muscular built guy. Like, if you're standing there silent, like, people may not fuck with you. It's just like, if I'm film or if I'm not, child, if they're going to beat me up, they're going to beat me up.
Yeah.
Like, what am I going to do?
You're right about that. But you know what? You know what? I'm on the train. When they get crazy, you get crazy back.
Hello?
I bet, listen.
And I start screaming at them.
I don't know. I'm screaming, okay?
Cracking a can over your head.
That'll want to fuck with me. That'll bust them up. But when we think about femininity, and I want to take us to a sexual place.
Oh, okay. Of course.
I want to take us to a sexual place, because I'm thinking about preferences.
Yeah.
And when it comes to like the guys we deal with, first of all, just this topic is really interesting, and this question is interesting about preferences and thinking about it from the perspective of, if having a preference for masculine men, is that inherently femphobic? Jordan, whoever wants to start.
I think in most cases, yes. And when I hear this, I think that when people hear things like femphobic or homophobic or xenophobic, they assume that by accepting that label, that automatically means that they're a bigot,
right,
or that they hate
beating queer people. Yeah,
exactly. And I think what's important to make an important point to make is that femphobic just means the fear of femininity. And if that, like, just as we opened up this episode, like, there's 30 years of societal, you know,
reinforcement that don't be feminine, like don't, like, you're like, this is gonna mess up what you have for the future, reject it, like, fight the urge to be feminine. After you hear that message for so long, how are we sure that our preference isn't a byproduct of our conditioning?
That is very true.
And I just think that, I think that for a lot of people, it is femphobic. And I think that, you know, our society devalues femininity in general. And I think that we are a byproduct of our society. And yeah, I think most cases it is.
What about you, Damon?
No, I think you made a good point about conditioning and what you're taught through society, because my point is, like, taking femininity away from it, I think anytime you are saying you have some preference for or against an entire group of people, every single person that falls into this bucket, then likely you are some type of phobic. Maybe homophobic, femphobic, et cetera, et cetera. Fatphobic, whomever. Like, I think that people don't want to accept that, and also want to be a little lazy in how they express what they do like. Like, I think we talked about this a while ago when we did the episode on fatphobia. And it's just like, you can say, oh, I like such and such's muscular arms without denigrating someone who doesn't have that.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing that people don't do well. And I think that that would, like, being more thoughtful about how you express the things you like and being a little more open-minded about the things that, hey, you never know what you'll find in all of the realms of femininity.
Right. Like, I this question, it was tricky for me because I think that people can have their preferences. And I think that is fine and dandy, but when you go out of your way to reject femininity for whatever dark-sided reason you, you might have, I think that's when it becomes the issue. And so I just want to read something for you guys that I found.
I missed this.
Yeah, because, you know, I just thought that this was interesting, and just ways in which femphobia is harming the LGBTQIA plus community. And so I found this on everydayfeminism.com, and there's six different ways. And I gave the name of the site because I feel like in order to educate, folks should just go check it out and read what's under these, each of these six different points. So it says gay men are affected by external and internalized femphobia. Femphobia confines lesbians. Femphobia is part of bisexual erasure. Thought that was interesting. Femphobia leads to the invisibility of transgender men. That was interesting to me as well. Transgender women are the nexus of femphobia, which I'm pretty sure that we all here at this table are aware of. And then lastly, femphobia is internalized misogyny. And so it, like, reading those just made me think about how so many folks don't know their own trauma. And so it's really hard to sort of cherry pick who has a preference based on what.
Right.
And yeah, that's my take on it. That's why I say it's tricky. But when does having a preference become discrimination? Like,
For me, it's when you, like, exclude whole groups of people.
Okay.
It's just like, I don't like feminine men is ridiculous.
So when it's just a broad.
Yeah, it's like, I may not like that feminine man.
Right.
But this one over here.
Right.
Does the thing.
Okay.
So and I think that people, like, shut down people on this big blanket statement, and I think it's fucking stupid.
No, I think that's
I'm sorry. I don't have a more poetic way of saying that. But
that was a slap in the face. Now let's talk about, and I hope that this is not problematic, but maybe it is. But when we talk about feminine tops, and we talk about a blouse being a feminine top, I have a blouse on this evening. I think it's rather chic. But I just want to know your thoughts on feminine tops. How do we feel about them? Are we them? Jordan.
I mean, I would recommend a blouse, you know, definitely. I'm more of like a cotton linen blouse versus a silk blouse.
Okay.
but, you know, I mean, I think that for me, like, I'm mostly, and y'all know this, I mostly try to like seek out like energy that matches mine. And my energy, you know, it sounds like Doja Cat. And
that's your energy sounds like Doja Cat.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And it's like there's a level of femininity into it. You know what I mean? Like, yes. I think that, you know, as I'm getting older, I think that I'm finding less and less thrill in the concept of like the trade. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like, you know, I need to be able to like level set with someone who like I'm having this experience with. And, you know, I kind of want them to feel like my good girl. And yeah, they're going to have some level of femininity. And if you don't, that's going to be real strange for me, I think.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So, yeah.
What is it about the silk blouse that it's not that bothers you?
I don't, it's so femme phobia. I will say that, like, I, you know, I think that I sort of am working through like stereotypes and gender roles that we assign, mm-hmm. People within the queer community, you know, like just like going through life and just being told like, oh, okay, Jordan, you're like tall, mm-hmm. and you have like a little bit of muscle, so you need to be a top, mm-hmm. you know, and like not saying like not blaming that for my mindset, but mm-hmm. you know, like over time I sort of just was like, well, maybe I am, mm-hmm. like, you know what I mean, like if this is all the attention that I'm getting, then like let me just lean in, mm-hmm. but by doing that, I felt like I sort of subscribed to the like stereotypes as well. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's sort of like an unlearning process.
Yeah. I think for a long time, I rejected the idea that someone more feminine than I was could top me. Mm-hmm. And that was femphobic. I didn't even realize, you don't know what you don't know.
We didn't have the language for
it. We actively participate, you know, in things that we just don't even realize, based on a lot of the societal things that we spoke about earlier, that we are involved in ourselves. But over time, I'm so glad that my perspective has changed. I've changed. Mm-hmm. I am a feminine top. I'm a masculine bottom. I'm a feminine bottom. I'm all the things. I am non-gender conforming when it comes to
the bedroom. She's all the blouses.
I'm every blouse in the closet. Every last one. Yeah. And it's fun. It's like more fun. Life is more fun.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, no, one of my first boyfriends when I lived in Boston was more femme. Mm-hmm. Was topping the shit out of me, child. Okay. It was great. It was fucking fantastic. And that's when I knew. Child, she's on that stuff. But I think that's was an earlier experience. I was, 22? And I was just like, oh, that whole femme top, that is some bullshit. Mm-hmm. Y'all need to get the people you need to get with. Yeah. But yeah, so I would say that was the experience I had. And I think that shaped a lot of how I thought about it. And luckily for me, at least, that happened earlier in my gay journey, if we want to call it that.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And I'm thankful for that experience.
Well, you know what? Life teaches us, you know, to perspective. Mm-hmm. And so it's funny that you would have that earlier on. And like that taught you a valuable lesson, mm-hmm. that some people don't learn until later on in life. Right. And it's like, damn, if only I had knew, I would have been...
I would have thrown 22-year-old cat around.
Many a blouse in my day.
A closet full of blouses. Right.
A closet full.
So I think as we close, one of the things we like to do is take a thing and look forward. So what actions are you all consistently taking to unlearn some of the things around femphobia, excuse me, and create safer environments in our community? Jordan.
I think... this may feel like a small one, but I feel like it makes a really, really big impact. And I mm-hmm. think it's about taking people's pronouns seriously. I think that, honestly, like within the last maybe like 4 years, mm-hmm. maybe not even that long, maybe like the last like 2 years, I've started to like form friendships with people who don't have pronouns that you would assume that mm-hmm. they have.
Yeah.
And I think that for me, like getting into that headspace to do that was a little bit, you know, foreign for me. But I think that over the course of like being very intentional about making sure that I'm saying the right pronouns and that I'm respecting people's pronouns and that I even ask proactively mm-hmm. what people's pronouns are, I think that just establishing that habit of language is starting to permeate other parts of my mentality. Mm-hmm. And just like being able to approach people and with the understanding that like you don't really know, like you can't really say what it is. Mm-hmm. They will tell you that. And I know this conversation was more about like cisgender queer men, but I think that when we talk about femininity, like I think that when we get into the space of like non-binary and the trans mm-hmm. experience and things like that, that's been something that, especially through this podcast, mm-hmm. that has allowed me to sort of like stretch my mind in ways. And I feel like it's helped me create safer spaces for people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I think one of the ways is bringing awareness about the subject matter to mm-hmm. light and talking about it out loud. And that's exactly what we're doing here today with this podcast. And I think that it's important to speak out loud, to learn and unlearn some things. And so it's the education for me, and a lot of prepping for this episode, I was able to read and discover things that I want to go back and look at and just be able to be more knowledgeable about it, because yeah. the more we can be aware of other people's experience, the more careful and considerate and thoughtful we're able to be. And also in talking to people who identify, you know, who self-identify as femme, and asking them, being curious, mm-hmm. you know, asking them about their experience and how can we be more supportive of that. And so like, for instance, last season we had Plant Queen as a guest, and it was eye-opening to learn from them and to mm-hmm. hear their experience, and also to be able to just have them now in our sphere of mm-hmm. if we want to ever, you know, go back and say like, hey, I have this question, like they would sit down with us in a heartbeat and mm-hmm. continue the conversation.
Yeah
So Damon,
will you do that? I never know what to expect next.
I lean into my life as a feminine top and provide good dicks to these niggas with painted nails.
All right.
Oh, okay.
You're gonna write that down.
Well, we ended with an advertorial.
Well, because what I would say is like the thing in my life that taught me like, oh, you can be femme and have somebody top you and enjoy it. Now provide that service. And that's what service? I'm doing. Yes,
come on.
One day at a time.
Come on, service. Listen, one day at a time.
Send us a DM.
And that is all the time we have this week. This season, we're raising money for the Ali Forney Center, an organization committed to protecting LGBTQIA+ youth from homelessness and empowering them to live independently. One of the ways you can help us is by joining our Surface Level Small Talk conversation on Tuesday, June 28th. Small Talk is a live audio platform where you can join an intimate discussion with us. 100% of the tips that we receive in our Small Talk will go directly to the Ali Forney Center. For details on how to RSVP for the Small Talk discussion, visit surfacelevelpodcast.com. And remember, stay curious.